energies are.
This is a huge job, right? The Department of the Interior is responsible for our public lands, about conservation, about how we use those public lands wisely for today and for tomorrow. And so he'll be in a position to expand oil and gas leasing in offshore water, on land, at a time when just last year's COP, as you mentioned earlier, the international community recognized we needed to transition away from fossil fuels. The United States is already the largest oil and gas producer in the world, increasing rapidly. And now we have someone who has promised to further accelerate oil and gas exploration in the United States. Perhaps most notably, we'll be lifting the pause on LNG exports that the Biden administration put in place just 6 months ago. And with someone like him responsible for energy across the entire administration, it creates real serious concerns about how we make sure that the United States stays focused on the clean energy transition. The one thing I would say, though,
we have 10 seconds,
is that the clean energy transition in the United States is unstoppable. It's going to hit some speed bumps now, but it will move forward.
Manish Bhakna, President of the Natural Resources Defense Council and Natural Resources Defense Council Action. That does it for our show. Our deepest condolences to Karen Ranucci on the passing of her father, and a happy 80th birthday to Danny DeVito. I'm Amy Goodman here in Baku, Azerbaijan.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, community radio.
Many people ask me what my show, Radio Lost and Found, is about, and I tell them it's about 1 hour 58 minutes. Radio Lost and Found is a two-hour media scape of found sounds, forgotten records, outre recordings, and more, coming to you every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight, right here on KBOO.
Good morning, and you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I am broadcasting from the KBOO studio in Portland, Oregon, on this Monday morning, November 18th, it is 8:01 a.m. More Talk Radio was off last week. It was Veterans Day, and we normally take off on holidays, on federal holidays. So the last time we were on the air was the Monday before the election. Perhaps it was appropriate that we have been off to try to process what has happened over the last couple of weeks. A lot has happened, and it takes a lot to process. I want to invite everyone to participate in an exercise of maybe not grieving, but processing together. I think it's important for us to, I say, refresh, reframe, renew, and restore. I'll be quite honest with you. I shudder each morning when I wake up to see what we're our nation, indeed our world, is heading. So I look at the headlines of the New York Times and am, I'm not sure, amazed or aghast at the incoming federal administration. It is as if the inmates are running the asylum, I think. Looking at the list of cabinet appointees, and it's unbelievable for me, I think. So, you know, Secretary of State Marco Rubio. So, okay, he's in U.S. Senator, Intelligence Committee, anti-Chinese, a hawk on most things on defense, on issues. So, but, you know, maybe someone in the mainstream, perhaps? But then, we continue. Attorney General Matt Gaetz and the Speaker of the House certainly does not want the House Ethics Committee report on Matt Gaetz be released. Mr. Gaetz has resigned from the Congress, so perhaps it will not be released. Mike Johnson will prevent the ethics report to be released. But it continues. Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., UN Ambassador Elise Stefanik. Wow. And its defense secretary, that's incredible. Pete Hegseth. Oh my gosh, it continues. I mean, yeah. So what do we do and where do we go from here? I'm interested in hearing how you are responding and reflecting, how you're preparing for perhaps the long haul. Certainly it appears that the Trump administration will be Trump 2 on steroids. And it seems to me, at least, that it's a burn the house down mentality. Now, maybe that some people might think that's a good thing, perhaps, and some people think it's not. But certainly in an effort, perhaps it's an effort to start so many fires that people are unable to respond. So, you know, if he doesn't have recess appointment where it's allowed, where the president can appoint cabinet officials when the Congress is in recess, and so they don't have to go through the confirmation process, blah blah blah. You know, these people are well prepared. They've done their homework. They know what they're going to do. And so, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Burn the house down? Is there an effort to start so many fires that people are unable to respond? So, you know, you want to respond to the energy issues and the energy, possible energy secretaries and possible Secretary of the Interior. So you battle that front, and then you worry about other issues. When you worry about perhaps immigration and so-called border czar, and what does that mean? And the potential attorney general love affair with El Salvador. It's so much. So let's hear from our callers. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. How do we respond, or how are you feeling, perhaps? And where do we go from here? I have a cousin, who's a young young man, early 20s, and he said, right after the elections, oh, I should have had my passport. Some people are dismayed. People are worried about their families and their loved ones. Where do we go from here? Let's hear. And perhaps you are too, are at a place of slowly moving beyond being in a place of shock or unable to move. Were you surprised by the election results or were you not? I wasn't. And I'm reminded so often leading up to the campaign, people saying, this isn't who we are. Well, quite frankly, this is who we are. And the challenge isn't Donald Trump. It's the American people. And I go back to the Obama campaign in 2007 and 2008. And remember, Obama was beginning to take off. A clip from his former pastor, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, came out of a sermon he gave. And so I'm looking to, you can say the D word, right? Oh, okay. So in the clip, the preacher said, not God bless America, but God damn America. And a lot of people got upset about that. But perhaps the Reverend Wright was correct. But let's hear what our callers of wisdom have to say. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. What is your response to the elections, and where do we go from here? Let's hear what Joan has to say. Good morning.
Good morning. How could I resist calling you now? Thank you so much for opening this conversation. And I know a lot of people are thinking about the economy, and a lot of people have voted their pocketbook. And I can relate to the fact that folks are having a hard time. But if you're speaking about a preacher, this is reminding me of the story of Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge.
Yes.
And I hope people enjoy their porridge. I have a feeling they're not going to get as much as they would like, and it's not going to be very tasty. And I think what's left for us is to be kind to each other and to look at what it means to be an American. Because this is making me feel rather patriotic in the way that we've got these four freedoms that Thomas Paine talked about, that Norman Rockwell painted his pictures about.
Yes.
Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear, which means that the death squads are not going to come crashing into your living room in the middle of the night. And this is what America is about, and this is why people are risking their lives to come here, not to get a house, not to get a car, but to have some of America's, what really makes this place, in spite of the racism and the sexism and everything else. And I know this sounds kind of bitter, and I guess I'm rolling up my sleeves, but I don't know quite. I don't think any of us quite know what to do, but here comes the clown car.
Yes, indeed.
And if it's fascism, which it's an American form, and what we have going for us is our sense of humor and our sense of irony and our sense of, we really have to look at our sense of history.
Right.
And if it's not real fascism, it's certainly authoritarianism. And is that what we want? Do we want Big Daddy telling us what to do? And are we willing to give up what our ancestors, your ancestors didn't come here to get anything, but mine did. And it wasn't people in Guatemala and other places have a house. What don't they have, and why are they willing to come here? You know,
yes.
What's it all about? And I think we have to. It is truth time.
Well, thank you.
So where do we go? I don't know.
Well, thank you, Joan, for raising these questions and so many. Let's breathe and go forward. So thank you so much for raising it and for reminding us how we ought to respond. Let's hear what others have to say as well.
Thank you. Thank you for opening this up.
Thank you so much, Joan. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil, and next up is Santiago. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am okay. What are your thoughts? Where are you?
My thoughts are that we got to buckle in. You know, what happened through the election, at least from the right-wing perspective, has been like a 50-year project.
Yes.
They've had 50 years to organize and push. And so I think as people, as leftists, we just need to buckle in and just hunker down for the long haul. The one thing that I'm looking at, honestly, is education. You know, that's where it all starts. You know, we're in an environment where it's anti-science, anti-intellectual, and, you know, people just popping up and just, you know, saying whatever's on the top of their head. And, you know, if they say it confident enough, they sound smart. And this is who we got that's how we get the Joe Rogans and the Elon Muskuses and all these cats who just, you know, they present themselves as experts in the fields that they're in or what they purport to be in. And at the end of the day, you know, they give off a salt of the earth air with stupidity parading around as authority. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and honestly, I'm not surprised by the election. I mean, you know, people say, oh, you know, like you were saying, this isn't America. This is absolutely America. That last caller sounds like, I mean, no offense to the last caller, but I mean, it's a very lived up take to have. You know, the reason why people are moving here is because for a lot of them, you know, the West in general, but America in particular, has done a great job of destabilizing the economy to the point where lots of people in their countries cannot live where they grew up.
Right.
You know, so they're you see that a lot. You know, same thing is happening with Britain. You know, they destabilized so many countries in Southeast Asia. And, you know, and it's like if they're going to have, you know, and why have diet imperialism when you could just move to the imperial core, right? I mean, it's,
yes.
You know, and then ultimately, you know, fascism is the other side. Capitalism is the coin. Imperialism is the side of the coin that faces out, and fascism is the side of the coin that faces in.
I like that.
So
okay,
capitalism, white supremacy, all that. And so, like, you know, if Kamala Harris would have won, we would have stalled fascism. But as long as imperialism is still something that's accepted, we would still have to keep fighting. So for me, there was a fight either way.
Right.
And I think that's what a lot of us should take away from this is, like, it's going to be a fight whether there is a Democrat or a Republican in office. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, they present differently on cultural issues, but when it comes to fiscal issues, they're on the same ground. They ultimately stomp down on the working class.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you, Santiago. You need to get to some other callers, and you gave such a lot to think about. So continue on and take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. You too.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. We're doing some reflecting on the election results and where do we go from here. Santiago just shared some of his perspective, need for education, some reflection on the realities of the political and economic systems we're living in. Joan, before that, reminded us of urge us to lean into kindness. Next up, let's hear what our next caller, Corey, has to say to us. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Cecil. Yes. Can you hear me, Cecil?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing great. Thanks for, I don't know why I'm reverberating, but so basically when you mentioned someone didn't have their passport, and I guess when I heard that, that was shocking to me. You know, and I guess I always have my passport ready because I've always been prepped for this. And then Santiago mentioned the UK. And so we had applied for our skilled worker visas in the UK last year. And mm-hmm. then after 2 weeks ago, we basically got accepted to the UK. Mm. And so we're taking off. And I guess the reason, this is an interesting conversation because I've discussed this before. We lived in Canada during my time talking to you. Now we're headed to London permanently because of Brexit and because of what we do. They need us over there, basically, because they basically got rid of a core of their job force with Brexit. So they need skilled workers in the UK. We just basically want to go and live and be left alone. And I guess my thing is everywhere I go, I see immigrants of different colors, but I never really see too many African-Americans. As a matter of fact, what I just want to talk about briefly is just learned helplessness. I worked at the University of Washington, and I was able to send some students to an internship over the summer, and the internship was in the United Kingdom, fully mm-hmm. paid, et cetera, et cetera. And there were, you know, out of the 10 students, 3 were African-American, and they decided not to go. And I'm like, why? And it was almost all 3 of them were just like, well, you know, we don't know what it's like over there. And I'm just like, you're given a chance to go to a different country over the summer to get paid. You work in the field of engineering, and you're afraid to go, even though everything is taken care of. It'd be different if you weren't like, if this wasn't financially viable, but everything is taken care of financially, your flight, your stay. You're going to be basically going to Oxford over the summer to learn. And yet, Cecil, there was this fear that they had, and I guess it's tied into this learned helplessness to where, as an African-American, I've never felt like America was my home. Right. And so I'm trying to provide opportunities to these young people, like, hey, go to London for the summer and learn, number one, but also, like, yeah, go experience it. And so, out of the 10, the 3 of them said no.
So,
and I just don't know how to break through to that. See, so, like, to me, it's just sort of like, I feel like I failed, but it's also like, I just don't quite understand that mindset.
So help me, because it's puzzling to me. So they were afraid to go to England to study because why? They didn't know it, or?
Exactly. I think it's tied. When I asked them specifically what, they're just like, well, I don't know about going over there the entire summer. I'm like, dude, you're basically June, July, August, you're going to be living in London at a fully paid internship at Oxford learning mechanical engineering. And they just, all 3 of them, like, were like, nah, I'd rather stay here. I'd rather intern at Boeing, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, look, Boeing is laying people off. Like, you might need to go over there and get a job. That's why, you know, like, do you understand? Like, for what you do, they're laying machinists off. You're getting your bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering. You might want to go up there and set yourself up. And see, so it was, like, sort of heartbreaking. And I guess it just sort of set the wheels in motion for me. Like, I'm just like, yeah. Also, I understand there's a financial aspect to it. This situation was different. But, you know, this is Seattle. I even asked these students, have you ever caught the train and gone to Portland? They said no. Uh-huh. Have you caught the train and gone up to Vancouver, B.C., or caught the Clipper and gone to Victoria? They're like, no. It's almost like they've never left.
And I think you're touching on something that I think is very important, is how insular we are, you know, as a people, as a nation, the inability, as you suggest, to see beyond ourselves, to see beyond, you know, our 4 walls is crushing us in terms of our ability to move forward. So, wow.
Exactly. When I go to different places, I see immigrants of different colors. I'm like, well, when I was in the UK, I met with a group. It was expats who lived there, expats of color. Mm-hmm. And it was great. But it was also, like, it was like 17 of us. We all met. I'm like, yeah, we're thinking about coming here next year. But it was only 17 in a city the size of London. And that tells you, like I'm talking about, like, just this fear. Like, if America is going to treat us like this, I owe nothing to America to stay here. So I'm still in my 40s. I'm still able-bodied. Why can't I go somewhere else and live the life I want to live? But I guess it's tied to that learned helplessness. Once again, like, you don't want us here, but then certain elements of us are afraid to go somewhere else. And I think that's a global issue as well. Where is African-Americans? Do we go where we feel safe? Yeah. And I think this sort of, you know, it was damning, and I'm trying to set these students up before I leave, and no, Dr. Clay, you know, we'll just stay here over the summer. I'm like, all right, you know, and at a certain point you just put your hands up, like, right, you know, good luck. I'm trying to tell you what's happening and show you what's happening in the world, and you refuse to look, like you said, look beyond these four walls. Good luck. You know, like, I'm not trying to, you know, I don't know what else to do at this point.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Corey. Continue to inspire those around you, and you know, let people know that you can go across the pond and it's just fine. They'll survive.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you,
Cecil. Well, thank you so much. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and let's go to our next caller. Lee, good morning, Lee. How are you?
I'm up and awake, and
okay.
My brain seems to be working.
Yay.
Thank you for this particular subject matter. There are a lot of people with a lot of beefs about what the system provides them or does not provide them, and then there's this whole issue of what is Trump going to do that's going to make things for the beliefs of, you know, a lot of people, suicide. How do we get these different groups, thinkings, objectives together? And the only thing I can think of is, well, we got to find common ground.
Hmm.
Okay. And the common ground being the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Something has got to be done relative to whether it's mitigation or preparation for weather and climate events. You know, against pollution, you know, because of what it does to the earth, and, you know, Dakota Access Pipeline being, you know, a good example of that.
Right. Let me ask you to pause and ask you a question about this. I don't know whether or not you were able to hear the news before this program came on, particularly talking. Yep. Were you?
Yeah, I listened to Amy.
Okay. Yeah. I was just troubled by the remarks about, you know, the incoming, I guess, energy secretary, and it's sort of like, you know, everything I heard you saying, it was sort of like what the opposite he was saying, but how do you respond to that, you know? You said common ground, we can't even acknowledge that, you know, we're in a climate crisis.
It doesn't, we got to stop this notion that, you know, we rule by majority, you know, who gets the most, whatever. The third anti I was going to add was anti-war, but if enough people are loud enough and threatening enough and willing to make personal sacrifices, then change can come. But what's the commonality that all people need to get together on? The common ground. The earth.
So I'm going to put you in a room with the incoming energy secretary and tell me how you're going to find common ground on the earth.
I don't expect to find common ground with everyone. I expect to find common ground with enough people who are willing to get out into the streets and reclaim this system.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, through protest.
Yes.
Through nonviolent protest, but recognizing in that, as we learned in the civil rights struggles that are still coming on, ongoing, is we will lose people. The state is violent.
Yes.
And when we oppose them, they will render violence upon us.
I think these are important points, and I want to make sure that we we hear you, because you mentioned you in terms of nonviolent civil protests. Expand on that.
What are we objecting to? You know, what do we need to have marches in the streets on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. Right? On, you know, Thursday morning at whatever time, you know, we're going to do this path, march.
Okay.
You know, and yes. We're going to do it every regular basis so that people find out about it.
Right.
And begin to participate.
And I think you touched on something that is so important, is to acknowledge where you are and what you can do, and where you are you can try to make a difference. I'm reminded of, you mentioned a suggestion on Thursday morning we're going to do this. I'm reminded of groups in where I live, I see, who for certainly over a year, who regularly line up on a street with signs talking about the horrors of war, and I think about Gaza, but they do this every week, and you know, some cars pass by and honk their horns, some, you know, fly don't, but they're building community where they are and trying to make a difference. So perhaps what you're saying is something we all can do and find.
Cecil, the day where a lot of people eat turkey, there's going to be some sort of pie, mm-hmm. you know, either made with some sort of squash or sweet potatoes. Can you eat one of those, all of it, in one sitting?
Well, I shouldn't. No. I'll go where I think you lead it. I probably can, but I shouldn't. But no, I can't.
Right. So So why are you expecting one particular group to do it? Each part, right.
Yes.
You know, there's parts,
yes,
to it, and somehow we need to figure out a way to combine to a point where ultimately, if the needs aren't met, there's a general strike, because we got enough people out in the streets that says no more of whatever.
Yes. Thank you, Lee, for opening up our minds and seeing the possibility of what we can do. So I appreciate what you had to say to us this morning, and the need.
Well, I'm glad I made some sense.
Oh yes, I'm glad you're awake. Yet. I'm glad you're making sense. So thank you for urging us to find common ground. Thank
Peace.
You. Peace. Bye. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. It's Monday. I'm Cecil, and you are you, and you can speak to your community by calling 503-231-8187, and let's hear what Francis has to say. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning. I agree with your first caller that we need to be kind to each other right now. Mm-hmm. I've got an echo. Is that normal?
You're coming.
Hearing an echo.
You're coming clear here, so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This morning I heard that the president-elect posted something. It was something that someone else had written that indicated that he was going to immediately enlist the armed forces to help with the mass deportation. And I don't know if that'll get by Congress. I think it has to. But that mentality is so sick. I think the people I know who are in my immediate family and friends are all talking about renewing their passports or continuing their passports or helping each other get passports. And then I'm thinking, so where are we going to go exactly?
Mm.
You know, we could go to Canada. And my father, my grandfather's country is Ireland, and I kind of like their politics. But a lot of people don't have the resources even to get passports.
Yes,
and
yes.
They also don't have the resources to go across that thousands of miles pond that
right.
you talk about.
Well,
that simple for a lot of people.
Right. And
I think that, you know, I'm thinking about the people down the street and families that, you know, dad or mom or both have been here for 20, 30 years. And now the military is going to come and send them away somewhere and leave their children here. I mean, what is that all about?
I think you raised some very important point, and particularly what I'm hearing is in terms of acknowledging ordinary people who do not have access to or the privilege to just get up and go.
Exactly. Right.
And
you know, some of us aren't as privileged as others.
Mm-hmm.
And no one should be in a situation where they're feeling intimidated or fearful every day. And I'm concerned about women's rights, you know.
Yes.
You know, it isn't just the money, honey. I don't even care about the money, really. I live with what I got. But I think that women's rights, women's privacy,
yes.
is just right there.
Yes.
And individual people's freedoms. I don't understand. I think that's the one thing among the people that I've talked to that is the most disheartening, is that so many people are going for this.
Well,
except the hype that man puts out.
Let me ask you, because you just said that so many people will accept in the hype. And the previous caller also made the observation that people were voting their pocketbook or economy. And so I don't know exactly what it was. I mean, and so what is it that this incoming administration said or did or promised? And
They promised to cut Social Security.
Well, I mean,
I didn't see where they did anything for the economy
at
all.
Well, that's why I'm puzzled, because people are saying,
I think people were voting for the fear factor. They're afraid of immigrants, quote unquote. They're fear of illegals.
Right.
I don't get it. And it really is disheartening to me to know that there's that many people that went for that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the part.
Yeah.
That is, I'm trying to process and figure out, because, you know, I know I meet and see Trump supporters every day.
Yes.
And I'm always polite, but I want to know why. What is it? You know, and I guess we need to have those conversations. And my hope is that some of these Republicans in Congress at least have some of their scruples left and will not go for all the nonsense.
We'll see. We'll hope. We'll pray. But I don't know. I don't know.
I'm bringing up the old adage that we applied years ago, and it still prevails. Keep the faith.
Keep the faith. Hey, Frances, thank you so much for calling and reminding us to be kind to one another. And as that old congressman used to say, you reminded us, Congressman Powell, keep the faith, baby.
Adam Clayton Powell.
Yes.
He's one of my heroes.
Excellent.
All right, Dan.
Okay, have a great day.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil. Give us a call. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Francis just reminded us, in the midst of all we are doing this troubling world, that we need to be kind to one another. And in the words of Adam Clayton Powell, keep the faith, baby. Let's hear what Alex has to say. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah. I, I want to preface this by saying a little quote from the I Ching is, the best way to fight evil is by making energetic progress in the good. So, I don't know. I did a lot of protesting during the Vietnam War and all of that, and marching, and I think the powers that be don't really care how many people get out on the street and protest. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's necessary for everybody to get together and feel good and all that. But I think people should really get together and create work parties
mm-hmm.
that do things for each other, like somehow pool resources and put solar panels on people's houses,
mm.
insulate, you know, and help people garden. I mean, mm-hmm. inflation is going to take off under Trump. So people are going to need to figure out how to make their limited resources stretch.
Yes.
But somehow, I think work parties, if people could somehow get together and figure out how to do things for each other,
huh.
rather than spending a lot of time and resources, you know, traveling everywhere to go protest with some signs. I mean, I think they let that happen because that just lets people vent. But they're going to do what they're going to want to do. I think we need to basically create the alternative energy economy and put them out of business.
All right. I hear what you're saying. What I'm hearing, and help me, is to begin where you are, create work parties in community, and build from there. Okay.
I personally am really enthusiastic about compost toilets. I mean, natural gas is used to create a lot of fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
So if composting could really take off, then that could eliminate some of the need for natural gas, for fertilizer.
Right.
I know that's hard to imagine on a large, ginormous agribusiness scale.
But I think what I'm hearing, yes, it might be hard to imagine, but what I'm hearing and what resonates with me is look around, see where you are, and see what you can do where you are. Build community there.
And to help your neighbors mm-hmm. and friends.
Okay, there's a theme. Theme developing this morning. Hey, thank you so much, Alex, for reminding us to do things for one another.
Yeah, positive.
Positive.
Stay positive.
Hey, thank you.
Okay.
Have a great day. And you are listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil. Alex just reminded us that we can get together, we can build community, create work parties, and find ways in which we can transform our society where we are. Let's hear what Tangent has to say. Good morning, Tangent.
Hey, hi, Cecil. People believe in what they do not know.
Wait, slow down. I'm writing it down. Go ahead.
People believe mm-hmm. in what they do not know.
Mm.
Now, many people say they believe in God, and does anybody say, I know God? I know in God. And I told this to a psychiatrist. She said Carl Jung actually said that. But think about it. I'm trying to explain this Trump phenomenon. We believe in electricity, but how many people are electricians really know it, right? Okay.
Okay, help me with Trump. Is it?
Well, because he just spews out what people want to hear, and he's okay. like many politicians, only he's just more brash about it, you know, less polite, but evil, I would butcher him in. But that's why people go for these demagogues. They don't really know that person. They read about him. The media is, here we go. You say you read the New York Times. I can't do it anymore. It just makes me too mad. But all the falsity that it's from their point of view. It may be a truth, a fact happened, but it's from, you know, a rich owner's point of view. You can see the same thing. Five people would tell you slightly different versions of it, correct? Okay, but one thing I want to leave you with, one is I have been at different protests, but I wonder why a nonviolent protest elicits a violent response.
Oh,
every time.
Always
it's like
has.
Scared, the military is scared to death of peace.
Well,
I'm serious. I just thought of this like 2 weeks ago.
Well, I'm like I say, I'm slowing down because you have pearls of wisdom. Why does a nonviolent
they have nothing
protest.
To do. I mean, what are they going to do? Stand around and sweep the, you know, the grounds or what have you, the camp? No. That's where they feel. And plus, to talk about belief, they believe that what they're doing is right and that we civvies, they call us civvies, by the way. My brother was a Marine. He taught me their jargon. We're civvies and underwear is skivvies.
Okay.
But we're not civvies. We're civilians. Yes. Okay. So.
Yes.
But I just wanted to throw something out that I was in Bellingham, and I saw people not protesting, just having a vigil like outside the post office. It was, and I went and talked to somebody else, and he goes, "Oh yeah, they've been doing that since 1964.
There you go.
This is back in 2009. Okay,
yes.
And I go, "Wow.
Yes.
But at least it seemed like we weren't at war during some of that time." He goes, "Ha ha, they're smarter than that."
Very good.
So we better protest for peace while we have any short-lived peace.
Right, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening.
Hey, thank you so much for sharing, Tanzan. Hey, you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, our last call at Tanzan. One has reminded us that people believe in what they do not know, and that, you know, made the observation, why is it that nonviolent actions often evoke a violent responses from authorities? Those are things we need to think about. Nevertheless, we are still community. We are people who are people of resilience, and we are able to understand and gather where we are and build community together. That is a theme that has been shared by several people today, whether it was Alex who was talking about finding one another and creating work parties. You know, in your neighborhood, in your community, tangent to his observation of people in Bellingham who continue a I don't know whether weekly or monthly action in front of the post office, urging for peace, apparently for decades almost, because it's something that's ongoing. And as an earlier caller reminded us, those in coming into power in the federal government in January, this is not something that happened by fluke. People have been working on it for decades, and this is the result of hard work. And so we may be surprised, but it is the result of hard work. And we are doing the same thing. We see possibilities blossoming up all over in our communities, in different not only different community, different states, and ways in which people are transforming their community. We've been talking a lot on the national elections, and here in where I live, we also had local elections, which made a difference. And yes, Portland is often seen as this sort of like radical outpost, especially how the incoming administration will talk about Portland, but I think there are possibilities wherever you are to do wonderful, magnificent things, and the possibility that people can transform their society, their neighborhoods, that is happening. So certainly we need education, as Santiago said, but let's go back to what we heard from a couple of people in order to be kind. Again, you are listening to More Talk Radio. This is so much to do. Let's hear how we can build community. Let's hear what our next caller has to say. Bart. Forrest. Boris. Okay. Excuse the confusion. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm contemplating, just like everybody else at this point.
Yes.
But what I wanted to do was, I wanted to touch on something that you mentioned briefly in your lead-in,
mm-hmm.
that I think is very important, and you kind of rushed by it. So I want to bring it up again to emphasize the importance of it. You mentioned Reverend Wright in his statement, "Goddamn America," and what was behind that, and that is that the American people, at least a significant portion of the American people, wallow in the worst aspects of this culture. They embrace American exceptionalism. They embrace narcissism. They embrace unadulterated greed.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump represents that aspect. So
mm-hmm.
in that regard, we deserve Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, I think people, you know, based on the way that we're raised in this country, to think that it's the greatest culture that mankind has ever been able to come up with, and that sort of thing. We're raised that way from the time we're little.
Right.
You know, they won't step back. They don't travel to other places, which also, you know, came up to see how other
Yes, earlier,
live.
Yes.
And they're totally isolated, and yes. they believe that this is the best thing that can ever happen, is to be born an American. And I think we need to face that head on.
And how do we address that? How do you address folks like that?
Well, I think it's apparent now that you know, a large enough percentage of the people in this country are not going to change mm-hmm. unless they're forced to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're at right now, we may be at an inflection point where mm-hmm. the people that have basically said, "I don't care about any of this as long as I've got beer and cigarettes," if you understand my meaning there,
mm-hmm.
as long as I'm comfortable in my home and I've got, you know, the privileges that I think I'm entitled to, I don't care. Well, this inflection point may lead to a breaking point where some of those people now are getting the snootful of neo-fascism, and maybe a percentage of those people will start to change. That's my hope, anyway.
Okay. And let me, I'm not sure whether there's a pushback, but maybe asking for a clarification. Certainly people, you know, you said, I'm satisfied, just give me my beer and cigarettes. What I'm hearing, it's more than people, it's that and more. I mean, there's a fear or anxiety that they will be unable to get along. I mean, they're not asking for a lot. They're asking for their beer and cigarettes and the ability to pay their rent and to have food on their table. And they feel that Mr. Trump
will...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean that's the common pushback that I hear when
uh-huh.
you know I say something like this.
Right.
But
what's your response?
The reality of the situation is that, you know, I've heard people say, "Well, those people are innocent; they don't deserve Donald Trump." Well, on the surface, that's probably true. But the thing is, the reality is, nothing is going to change for those people unless there is this inflection point
mm-hmm.
where the system that, you know, drives them down and keeps them there,
mm-hmm.
that system has to reach a point of crisis.
Yes.
And that's what I'm getting at.
I hear
maybe
you. Okay.
This may be leading to that point of crisis.
Right. It might be an inflection point, indeed.
Hey,
thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing this morning and
sure.
for your observations. Thank you. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. We have a few minutes left if you would like to call and share some thoughts. Let me try to summarize some of the things that I heard this morning from our callers. Many people are concerned about where we are. And as our last caller suggested, we might be at an inflection point in our society, in our culture. And so we are at a point, where are we going? What directions are we headed into? Tanju reminded us that, you know, people believe in what they do not know. I mean, and there's so much that's going on, but there's a possibility that nonviolent protest is a possibility, and that we might embrace. Others reminded us to be kind to one another, to recognize that people are people, that we are all in this together. So Joan started us this morning by asking us to be kind, to practice kindness, something that Francis also observed, and Corey. Santiago suggested that part of the problem is education. We need to find education. So what is the common ground? There's a lot of work, and we are at that point, and probably as Boris, the last caller mentioned, at an inflection point. Well, you know, many people said, where are we as a nation? I don't know what I would do if I lived in Germany in the 1930s or the United States in the Civil Rights Movement in the 1950s. This is our moment. How do we respond? Let's hear from our final caller. Bart, B-A-R-T-H. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Great.
Tanit called earlier and made a few points. And I wanted to respond a little bit to him.
Yes.
We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. Mm. A lot of people who have in their hopes or aspirations or whatever on Mr. Trump are projecting a great deal. And he has been projecting outwardly that he is the answer to their maladies and woes, and that they've been mistreated and maligned by the country and the world at large, and that he is literally the only one that can help them. Mm. He's made this case over and over again, and it sinks in. There's a lot of people who are on the outside for various reasons, and they are hoping that Mr. Trump is going to make everything right.
So we want.
I don't think he will.
So you say people want like this big what Santa Claus or big someone who?
Well, the Republican Party is, in psychological terms, has kind of billed itself as the daddy party. You know, we're going to have somebody tell you what to do. They're going to punish you when you get out of line. They're going to bully you, basically, because that's a traditional Western stance about fatherhood. Mm. Is, you know, because I said so, and this is just the way it is,
yes,
and those kind of responses.
Yes.
So, the other point is that if we want to see a change in the world, we have to be the change. Mm-hmm. And if we want to see a new tomorrow, we have to just start working on today, because it's today that matters, and the next minute and the next hour. And I'm trying to do more of that myself, but I think if people can be more grounded in the present, not holding on to slights or successes of the past, or projecting out into the future by worrying that the world will benefit from it, and so will they.
Okay. Thank you so much. And hey, you know, we are in for a wild ride. today, and it reminds me that we are sort of like Gotham City right now, and Arkham Asylum, and all those who are there have been let out, and they are in charge. Wow. Arkham Asylum. So, yeah, well, you tell me. We have time? We have 2 minutes for our last caller. Let's go to our last caller for today, and thank you all for being a part. Judy, good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
Yes, last words. Some of your thoughts.
I don't hear you very well. I have a message about more. The last caller.
Yes.
My phone is difficult. I was on a train, the Amtrak, coming down from Seattle, and I heard a conductor say a very fascist thing, and I didn't realize it at the time. He said, it's not cheating, it's called creative winning. And I'm going to do a sign.
Okay, I'm going to have to let you go because we're...
I'm going to be active. I'm in the middle of Oregon, in Albany, and I'm going to say, just ask Donald Trump.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I'm sorry. Maybe call again next week when we have some more time. This is really critical things you are observing. Yeah, we're living in new time. Thank you for listening. Continue to support KBOO. Continue to support one another. I'm Cecil Prescott. Take care of yourself and those around you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.